Welcome to the CSL Olympia podcast. In this episode, you will hear an opening prayer, followed by a talk. You can learn more about us at our website, cslolympia.org. Blessings.
We are on sacred ground. This is a blessed time. Wherever we are, we know infinite presence is all there is. Oh, I invite you to tune in to that inner awareness, that inner knowing of your divine essence, of our being here expressing the divine, knowing that our breath is the breath of life. And as we center ourselves in this knowing, I recognize that infinite presence is what is. Source, the force, divine intelligence is all that is. And this fountain of infinite gifts overflows with love, with inspiration, with joy. Ah, just breathe that in. Know that each of us is here, showing up in all of life's good. And knowing it's all one, I know and I accept that I am one with divine mind, that each of us is in this oneness, this wholeness, and in this spirit of belonging. I know that in this beautiful, loving gathering, this gift of community, that the words spoken today are inspiring. The music brings us joy. And our being here together is love. Togetherness in this center, virtually wherever we are, there is this togetherness, these gifts. I know this is who we are. I know this is our truth. And in the deepest gratitude, I release this into the law because it's always working. Working for each of us. And in this sense of belonging, together we can affirm, and so it is.
So we're honoring the season of Advent, which comes out of originally the Catholic tradition, started in the 400s. If you can imagine that, long, long time ago. And Advent literally means preparation, a coming to. And we're always in preparation, yes? We're always opening to something more. And so that's what this is honoring consciously for this particular season, because as we're moving into solstice, as we're moving into the birth of the Christ, as we're moving into the season that celebrates so much of light, whether it's Hanukkah, whether it's the enlightenment of the Buddha back on Bodhi Day at the beginning of the month, whether it's the solstice, whatever it is, we're moving into this awareness of the light that is already present within us and allowing that to shine. And so we started off the first week with the idea of hope. Every journey towards something begins with hope. We hope that there's an outcome. I'd like to say that somewhere between this candle and the second candle, we also build faith. That is, there's an absolute faith that this is going to happen. You know, for those of us who honor solstice, you know, there's an absolute faith because we've watched this every year for a few thousand years, that the sun does actually renew every single year, yes? You've noticed this, right? And so we've also, many of us, by the time we're of a certain age, realize that we go through dark times, but the light comes back. You know, something in our life shifts, and so we open up to more. And so as we do that, then the second week, we move into a sense of love. We love the destination. We love where we're going. We love what is opening up within us, and we're allowing that to open up. Today we celebrate, today in the Roman Catholic tradition, is called Gaudete Sunday. And I'm so glad I took Latin when I was in high school and was an altar boy, so I knew that. But Gaudete literally means rejoice, and it's a candle of joy. And you'll notice it's the only candle that's a different color on the outer candles than the rest of it, because it is meant to be. While the other three candles in the tradition are a little more somber, a little more solemn, a little more penitential, if you will, this is a candle of joy. And so Gaudete literally comes from the reading that says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your kindness be known to all. So we're here to celebrate in joy this which is coming new. This is the, I'm in joy for the new birth. You know, we encounter a mom who's pregnant with a baby, and there's no baby yet, but we're in joy for the pregnancy because we know it's going to happen. We're in joy for this new thing that we're welcoming into our life, this new light, because we know it's there and we're allowing it to happen. So we move into that sense of joy. There's a lovely poem that I put into the writing for today. Those of you who are receiving the weekly emails that I'm sending out on Sunday mornings, or you can find this online also. But a lovely poem from a woman named Barbara Crooker, whose poem is, "These winter nights are never black and dense, but white, starlight dancing off the land." Think about that. Feel that. Starlight dancing off the land. "And then the luminous dawn, the pearled skies full of hope, no matter what else we know." Oftentimes in our lives, we know intellectually things, but despite that, there's this new light that's being born that's coming anyways. And so letting go of it, having to figure it all out, and allowing the fullness of that process. So that's our Advent for today that we're celebrating. Our talk today is In the Name of Wholeness, Enriching the World. And it's part of our month-long look at living as wholeness. Living as wholeness. You and I are already whole. Most of us want to enrich the world in some way or another, to make it better, yes? Yep. I figure most of us who would be in a place like this are kind of, you know, wanting to do that. And I think even if people are misguided, they want to make the world better, even if it's in some ways that some of us might consider rather weird. CSL, the overall organization, has a vision of a world that works for all. And yet, as we know, the outer reflects the inner. So if I want to enrich the world, who do I have to enrich first? Myself. If I want to experience a world of wholeness, I must experience myself first as that wholeness. I must find that within myself. If I don't see and experience myself as whole, I won't see others in the world around me as whole, no matter what is actually really happening. We tend to view the world in parts. We view it as the sun and the moon. We view it as the sky and the earth. We view it as the animal, the tree, the human, the mechanical, the machine, you know, whatever. But as we raise an awareness, we start to begin to see something greater than this. We start to see that all these parts are really aspect of the whole, of an overarching wholeness. The astronaut Rusty Schweikart, who served as the lunar module pilot for Apollo 9, wrote that as he circled the globe, identifying places like Los Angeles, Houston, and North Africa — Houston was important because that's where mission control was for them, so you know, it's a good thing to know where your center is — but as he began to identify places, his process of identifying with the world began to shift. He said, "You begin to recognize that your identity is with the whole thing. You look down and can't imagine how many borders you cross, and you don't even see them. People are killing each other over some imaginary line. But when you see it as a whole, it's so beautiful, and you wish you could take individuals from each side in various conflicts, one in each hand, and say, look at it from this perspective. What's important? Then, in doing a spacewalk and being in that incredible silence and beauty, I felt like I was a sensing point for humankind. I recognized that we are all a piece of this total life. Take a moment and breathe that in. Each of us is a piece of this total life, this wholeness. You know, sometimes we can be like the story of the five blind men encountering an elephant and trying to describe the elephant. You know, and one encounters the tail and another encounters the tusks and the trunk and the legs and the ears. And they try to, you know, they describe it in the terms of the particular part they've encountered while never seeing or experiencing the whole elephant. Not only do we often do that with the world, but we also do it with ourselves. You know, often we're critical of these parts of ourselves. We analyze our bodies, right? Nobody here does that, but you've known people who, you know, look in the mirror and go, well, I got this wrinkle and that's too fat and that's too skinny and that, you've known people, right? Okay. We analyze our careers, we analyze our relationships, our finances, our perceived status in the world or in our families, and we compare ourselves with others and judge whether we're better or worse. Again, not you, but you've met people. In his book, The Big Leap, Gay Hendricks shares wisdom received from his next-door neighbor when he was growing up. And this man, whose name was Sam Lewin, told him, he said, on Judgment Day, God will not ask, why were you not Moses? He will ask, why were you not Sam Lewin? And Gay Hendricks has been said he's been trying to figure out how to be Sam Lewin. No, that's not the point. Why are we not being who we truly are, our wholeness, and expressing that? You know, last night I was at a concert, and it was a concert that was based on gamelan music, Balinese gamelan. And it was lovely. There was supposed to be a gamelan group there, but they at the last minute couldn't make it. But music was influenced. They had music that was influenced by gamelan, and one of them was a piece that involved tuned rice bowls and coffee cans. You know, our purpose is not to attain some imaginary ideal. Our purpose is to be the perfect rice bowl, the perfect coffee can that we're meant to be here in that tune. And it was interesting because, you know, one rice bowl by itself, you know, big deal, but these were all pitched differently. And the percussionist was playing them each differently. By the way, he traveled from Florida. He said that one of his rice bowls in a certain pitch, and the composer has, you know, this is the tone that each of these rice bowls should be. He specifies what they should be. And he said one broke, and so he spent Friday Home Goods store up in Seattle. And I can just imagine this. Can you just imagine this? Here's this guy. He's Russian, by the way. You know, has a Russian. He lives in Miami, but he's you know, got this Russian accent, sitting there tapping bowls in Home Goods store to find out, you know, the little rice bowls, little bowl, you know, things that hold rice, to find the right tone. I would have loved to see a video of that. So our purpose is not to attain some imaginary ideal. Our purpose is to see and express our own gifts, our own unique tone that we bring, our own unique expression of the infinite wholeness. You know, when he was looking for rice bowls, he didn't care about the outer appearance of the rice bowl. He cared about the tone. What's more important to us is not our outer appearance, but am I in alignment with the music that I'm here to play, the tone that I'm here to be, as an expression in this symphony of wholeness. We're here to individually express as our own wholeness, but instead we often create borders and boundaries within ourselves, and then we go to war with others or ourselves over these imaginary lines that we've drawn. And then we project that war out onto the world. We project that conflict within ourselves. Well, I should be inside this line over here. instead of saying, oh, this is part of a wholeness. So our starting point for creating a world that works for all, for seeing a world expressing its wholeness, for, as our own center's vision calls for, living as love in a world of love, is for us to see that wholeness, for us to be that love already. To be that as it already exists and stop making war on some imaginary enemy, some imaginary ideal that isn't really there. We get into trouble trying to cross imaginary lines and being afraid of crossing those lines when in truth there are no lines. There's only a wholeness. So we have to shift, we have to raise our perspective so we can see the already existing wholeness that's within our lives. You and I are already whole, perfect and complete, individually and collectively. Breathe that in for a moment. Recognize that. A higher perspective helps us move beyond majoring in minors and not seeing the forest for the trees and getting lost in the little details, the minor skirmishes, the petty criticisms, the microaggressions of life, without going for what we all really want, which is what we really want is that fulfillment, is that experience of wholeness, that experience of that deep, infinite love, knowing and living within our real wholeness. You know, almost 20 years ago, I just had a relationship breakup. I know that's a surprise for many of you. It was one of my many, many, many relationship breakups. And one day while I was meditating, I experienced being lifted up to a high mountain from which I could see the whole of my life below. And I came to sense that my whole life was a search for love. And I got a sense that I was here, that my purpose in being here was to heal a belief that I can't experience God's love in human form. And with that understanding, then, I came to see that all the hurts of my early life, all the abuse, the abandonment, the betrayal, were all the manifestations of that belief that I had to experience so I could live in it and then heal and move beyond it. In order to heal the belief, you have to start off with first experiencing the belief, yes? It's kind of your vaccination, you know, it's that little bit of the sickness so that you don't have to have the whole thing. And then work my way out of it to experience the truth of ever-present and everywhere presence of that love. And it helped me end the war with my childhood. It helped me end the war with my parents. It helped me end the war with my peers of that time. And it helped me see the direction that I wanted to go. And so suddenly the painful, wounded childhood fit perfectly into a greater vision of the whole. And just as the tusk, the tail, the ears, and the trunk of the elephant are aspects of a greater whole. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is take a few minutes and see if we can lift up and gain a greater perspective, a higher view on the wholeness of our lives with a little guided meditation. So if you're willing to do that, I invite you to take a deep breath and just relax. Maybe take a couple of deep breaths. Perhaps close your eyes for greater focus. And think about an aspect of your life around which you're currently feeling discomfort. And that can be anywhere from mild concern to deep pain. And bring it to mind as a visual, as an image, and just be aware of it. Now, staying aware of it, imagine that you are lifting up above it. Let yourself rise higher until you see this aspect within the whole of your life. Let yourself rise higher still and see your whole life as a flow of the infinite wholeness, the infinite life energy. Gaze at it as if you were on a high mountain or perhaps up in a space station. Notice any tendencies and patterns like geological formations of a planet of your life. And being aware that there's an inner wisdom within you, ask to be shown how this particular aspect of concern fits into the whole pattern of your life. How is it a part of a wholeness? And ask to be shown the overall pattern and purpose of your life in this incarnation. Keep breathing and don't worry if nothing comes, just be. Now imagine from this high perspective inviting all aspects of your life, of yourself, excuse me, your child self, your teen self, your adult self, to join you in this view, this high view. Imagine taking them by the hand and asking, from this perspective, what's important? Taking a deep breath. When you're ready, allow yourself to return to your awareness of being in this chair. At this time. Let yourself gradually be present. When you're ready, open your eyes. So whether you experienced anything or not, know that your subconscious is working. And know that in the perfect time and way, what you need to know is being revealed. May not have been today. It might be a year from now. It might be 10 years from now. But you've asked. You're adventing. You're preparing the way. You don't have to force it, just know that you've asked. And welcome it. Know with me that a world of wholeness is made up of individuals living in and as wholeness. A world of love is made up of individuals living as love. And this is simply your part to be. You don't have to go out and save the world, whatever that looks like. Just to simply be love, to know wholeness, to be your true tone, to be the rice bowl that you came here to be, in the perfect pitch in the symphony. And so as you know and live your wholeness, you shift and enrich the entire world around you. So this week, I invite you to continue to ask to be shown the wholeness in every aspect of your life, past and present, to see how it all fits together as a flow, to see what is the underlying call within your life. What is the deep purpose of this life you've taken on? Are you willing to play with that this week?
Yes.
I'm going to close with a quote from Thomas More from his book, The Care of the Soul. And he says, ruins, like the old farm equipment and pastures, show us that something remains of beauty in a thing when its function has departed. Soul is then revealed as though it had been hidden for years under well-oiled functioning. Soul is not about function. It is about beauty and form and memory. Things suffer as a person would when they are reduced to their functions. Care of the world soul, therefore, requires that we see things less for what they can do and more for what they are. We see people less for what they do and more for who they are. And make sure you include the person that you see in the mirror every morning in that view. We have an affirmation to anchor that in. Say this with me. I am already whole. I know it, I see it in and around me, and I enrich the world with my wholeness. And one more time. I am already whole. I know it, I see it in and around me, and I enrich the world with my wholeness. So I do, and so it is. Thank you.